Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Hei Yom Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had introduced the concept Halach Acharav L'modai. In certain situations where somebody stole from someone else and now he's prepared to fulfill the obligation Ve'eshivas Agzela Shagazal. So the Mishnah taught us that specifically in a situation where he swore falsely that he did not steal, and then he admits that he did steal, he has to bring a carbon, he has to return the money, he has to add a chaymish, and he has to bring a carbon asham. But as we discussed extensively in our previous shir, the halacha requires that it should be returned before he brings the carbon asham. Not only does the halacha require that it should be returned before he brings the carbon asham, but the halacha requires that he should go as far as he needs to go to return what he had stolen. And the Mishnah said, however, that if the person from whom he had stolen forgave him on the Karen and on not on the Chaimish, or on both of them, but if there's only an obligation of Pach Mishava Pruta, the Karen, if there's only left an obligation of less than a Shava Pruta of the Karen, then the halacha, that halacha achar of lamadai, the halacha that he has to go travel to return it, would not apply. It says the Gemara, Amar Papa. So Papa qualifies this halacha and says, Lo shanul she'en egzel kiyemis, that this halacha only applies if what was stolen is no longer in existence. Av egzel kiyemis, if what was stolen still is in existence, tzarech lelech achrav, then the halacha requires that he has to go return it, even though it's not worth a shava pruta. He has to return it because the Gemara introduces a new consideration, and that is the consideration of chashin and shem tiyaka. We need to be concerned that maybe it's going to go up in value. So even though currently it's not worth a pruta, but it may go up to a pruta, and therefore he has to return it. So the Achroinim explain that the case that the Gemara is speaking about is that when it was stolen, it was worth a pruta, and then he was meichel him, and because he was meichel, the victim was somewhat meichel, so went down to less than a pruta. So since at the beginning it was worth a pruta, and prior to the mechila, he would have to go return it. So therefore, the halacha tells us that since there's the concern, as we just learned, that it may go back up in value, the halacha requires that he has to go as far as he needs to go to return it. But, say the Achroinim in explaining this Gemara, if it was never worth a pruta, so the obligation to return it never kicked in, as we discussed in our previous year, since it was less than a pruta. So then the halacha would be that we don't have to be concerned under those circumstances that it may go up in value, and he doesn't have to travel to Modai to return it. So now there's a question, why is this the halacha? So the Rosh explains, because the halacha, as we said, is, at the beginning of our shiur, we said, that if you can't bring the carbon asham until you return it. So what's going to be the halacha here? Well, you didn't return it because it was less than a pruta. You brought the carbon asham, and then it goes up in value, and it turns out that retroactively, the carbon that you brought was not a kosher carbon, because the carbon only can be brought after it was properly returned. Another explanation that they explain is that why was the victim meichel? The reason the victim was meichel was because it was worth less than a pruta. And less than a pruta, we spoke about this extensively in our previous year, is not significant, and it's not something people care about. But if it goes up in value, so now the victim says, if it's worth more than a pruta, I'm not meichel. And therefore, the concern is that that mitzvah will come back. According to those Rishonim, it won't disqualify the carbon. Because when you brought the carbon, you brought the carbon properly. You did what's right. The concern is that, not for the disqualification of the carbon, but the concern is that you maybe will have the mitzvah to that you have that mitzvah to return it. Ikadamri, Amar Papa Loishna Gzeil Kiyamis, the Loishna Engzeilis Kiyamis. Different version of this discussion is it doesn't make a difference even if the object that was stolen is still in existence. Still, the halach is enetzerch lachrov. If the amount that the victim still expects of you is less than a pruta, the halacha, you don't have to travel to Madai to return it, because l'shema tiyaka lechashinan, we need not be concerned about this. So there's a number of ways of learning this Gemara. That one is, that, as we said a moment ago, we're not concerned that the carbon becomes puzzle, because once the carbon was brought properly, we no longer need to be concerned that retroactively the carbon will become puzzle. Or the posh pshat is that the reason is that once he was Michael, and we don't need to be concerned what's going to happen afterwards. Continues the Gemara Amar Rava. Gozel shalish agudos shalish prutas. If somebody stole a bunch of three vegetables, each vegetable is worth a pruta. For huzlu, and now they went down in value for omdul shtayim. So each vegetable is not worth any more pruta. Im hichsel shtayim, if the gazlan returned two, chayv lachsloy cheres. He has to return the third one, even though right now what he stole is worth less than a pruta. And the way Rashi explains that since at the time when he stole it, it was worth a pruta, so that's why that obligation remains throughout. Tana Tuna, and says the Gemara, that we learn a braisa to support this. And before we go further, this halacha that we're learning will now be, we don't have to have explained the Rishonim, a case that the Gemara mentioned, where you stole three bundles that were worth a pruta each, and now they went down. Even if you just stole one bundle, and when you stole the bundle, it was worth a pruta, and now it's worth less than a pruta, then the halacha is, we look at the shas gzeila, and you have to return it, because that was its value at the time that it stole. The reason, explained the Rishonim, why the Gemara chose this case, is for two reasons. Tosfos says the reason is to tell us that even though this person returned two bundles, so we would think even that he's only left with one bundle, which is worth less than a pruta, we don't make him return it. Teaches us the Gemara that you still have to return it. That's one approach. The other approach is, because we're going to be learning the cases about when you stole two bundles and you, what happens if you return one, etc. We're going to have various cases. So that's why the Gemara began speaking about a case where you stole three bundles. Moreover, says Tosfos, that from what Rav is teaching us, that if somebody stole three bundles that were only worth two prutas, and he would have returned two of those bundles, everybody will agree that since at the beginning, when he stole them, they weren't each worth a pruta, we don't have to be worried, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, that they're going to go up in value, and you don't have to return the third bundle. The only reason there's such an important need to return even this third bundle is because when it was stolen, it was worth a pruta. But if at the time that it was stolen, it wasn't worth a pruta, and currently it's not worth a pruta, the halacha would not require that you return that third bundle. Says the Gemara of Tana Tuna, there's a braisa that supports what Rava just said. The braisa speaks about a case that we often speak about, gozel chametz. If somebody stole chametz before Pesach, vavel of a Pesach, and now Pesach passed, the halacha is, the gazlan could tell the person from whom he stole, Hareshul Chalafanacha, I'm giving you the chametz, even though the chametz has no value, really, because it's chametz shovel of a Pesach. But points out the Gemara. Tama, the reason why this is sufficient, the Issa Be'enei, because you could give the actual chametz, Alei Sebe'enei, if you couldn't give the actual chametz, Vavgav the hash the lama moina, even though currently, since it's after Pesach, the chametz really has no value. Kivin the mikar mamoinahu, since at the beginning, when it was stolen, it did have value. Boy shlume, you have to pay the full value of the chametz. And therefore, says the Gemara, hachinami, in the case that we began with, afagav the hash the leishava pruta, even though now at this point, the third bundle that you have is not worth a pruta. However, kivin the mikara, since when you began, have a shava pruta, it was worth a pruta. So once what you stole was worth a pruta, the halacha requires that by shlume, you have to return that value. By Rava. So now Rava asks the question, gozel shtei agudas pruta, that you stole two bundles that together, they're only worth a pruta. Vechzle achsmehen, and returned one of the bundles. Mahu, what will be the halacha in this case? Do we say, mimrinim, hashtalaka gzela? Since right now he's holding something that's not worth a pruta, and when you stole it, it wasn't a pruta, it wasn't worth a pruta either, so there's no obligation to return it. Idilma, we could argue, he hasn't returned everything that he's stolen. So the Ravid points out that the entire conversation that the Gemara is having here is where the second bundle is eaten up. And the question is, does he have to pay for it? But if the actual bundle was still here, everybody would agree you have to give it back. Not everybody agrees with that, Ravid. So now, do we say, Miyamin hashtalek gzela, right now what he stole is not in existence, and it was not worth a pruta. Idilma, halay had gzela davagabe, you have to return everything you stole. Had the pashte. So the Gemara says, Rava's answer to this question was an ambiguous statement. Gzela enkan, hashava enkan. Ask the Gemara, what does this mean? I gzela enkan, if there was nothing stolen, Hashava Yeshkan, so there's, how can we say that you fulfilled the obligation of returning if you didn't steal? Says the Gemara, Hachkama, what Rava meant to say was, Apishikzeil Ainkan, even though what you stole, that what you have left is not worth a pruta, but since you did not return everything that you were supposed to return, you have not fulfilled the obligation to do the mitzvah shava, and you have to do the mitzvah. Hashava. The Rosh brings two opinions. How far is that obligation? The Gemara now says that you have to do the hashava. Does it mean that Beis Din will get involved and say that the heshva is gzela? You have to return it, or Beis Din won't get involved. But the right thing to do is to return it. There are other Rishonim, however, suggest that nobody could force you to return it, and there may not even be a mitzvah hashava to way I understand the Gemara, because that's the way Balamor explains the Gemara, because since what you have is less than a pruta, as we began this year, the Balamor explains, there's never a chiv, a mitzvah hashava, when you have less than a pruta. Most Rishonim, the Ramban and the Mechamis, calls Rabbeinu Chananel, that vehemently disagree with the Baal Hamar. So since the Gemara brought up this scenario of partial, the Gemara talks about other situations. The Tayag Dosha says that a Nazir we know may not cut his hair, but the halach is if a Nazir becomes Tameh, so after 7 days, he has to cut his hair. And the same halach is that a nazir, when he completes his naziris, has to cut his hair. Vamarava, so Rava says, Harei Amar Nazir Shigilach, if a nazir cut his hair, however, Vishayash Dei Saris, he left over 2 uncut hairs, Layasav Layklum, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. By Rava, what would be the halacha that the nazir cut his hair, but he left over 2 hairs? So obviously, if he left over 2 hairs, as we just learned, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah giluach. And then these last 2 hairs, gilach achas, he cut one off, v'nosher achas, and one fell out on its own. What is the halacha? Mahu, what is the halacha? Is that a sufficient way of fulfilling the mitzvah giluach? And the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Achim Adiftel Ravina, says that a nozer, shegilach achas, achas kamaboy leil rava, is the question, if a nozer cuts off one hair at a time, is that the Rava's question? He says, that's not a question. Somebody who cuts his hair is fine. And therefore, even if he does one hair at a time, rather, says the Gemara, Amalei, Leitzricha, the case that Rava was questioning was Kugan Shanishar Achsman. Like we said, he cut off all of the hair, left over two hairs, and then one of those left over two hairs fell out on its own. The Gilach Achas, and now he cut the remaining hair. Miyamin Hashtamiyas Alakashir. At this point, there's no two hairs left. And since there's no two hairs left, we don't have a problem. Adilma Halav Giluchu. He didn't do the mitzvah Giluach properly. The Mikara Shayesh De Saras. Once he left over two hairs, so he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah Giluach. Vashta Kigilech. And now when he's doing the Giluach, he's not cutting two hairs. He's only cutting one hair. And cutting one hair, now at this point, Lavish Day Cyrus, there aren't two hairs. And since there aren't two hairs, it's not considered having fulfilled, it's not considered the mitzvah of Giluach. So the Rishonim, the Achronim explain that the question of the Gemara is how to look at the mitzvah of Giluach HaNozer. Is the mitzvah of Giluach HaNozer is that the nozer should be left without any hair. And that's what's here. He was left without any hair. Or is the mitzvah of Giluach not just that the nozer, we're not just concerned about the result, that the nozer should not be left without any hair. What we're also looking for is that the mitzvah of Giluach should be done in a proper fashion. And that didn't happen here. Hadapashte, Sarava said, Sar enkan, Giluach enkan. And again, the Gemara wants to understand what does this statement mean. It says the Gemara, Isar enkan, if what you're saying means that he doesn't have any hair, so then Giluach yeshkan, how could there be Giluach if there's no hair? It says the Gemara, what Rava meant to say was, Hachikomer, Afal pisha sar enkan, even though the nozer is not left without any hair, but mitzvah Giluach enkan, what the Gemara is teaching us is that the mitzvah to do Giluach, the mitzvah is, as we said a moment ago, to do Giluach properly. Here, the Giluach was not done properly, and therefore, the Nazir, if he's finishing his term, will not be allowed to drink wine or be metamel mesim. That is the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. In Masech, the Nazir daf mem vav amud aleph, Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that if the mitzvah Giluach was not done properly, the nozer cannot resume drinking wine and be metamel mesim. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that he can resume drinking wine. That isn't the concern, but they do say that he will not have the mitzvah Giluach, which the Torah wants him to have. The halach is that if it's a mace in the oil and the mace in a home, the halach is that there's tumas mace, or everything in that house becomes tamei. Furthermore, if the house has two floors and there's an opening between those two floors, so the tuma goes up to the upper floor. However, if there's a complete separation between the lower floor or the upper floor, then the tuma won't go up. But the question is, we need to know what is considered a proper separation. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Harei Amru, the Mishnah Masechta Kehilim Perek Yud Mishnah Vav teaches us, Chavish Shenikva, if there's a pitcher that is filling up a hole between the upper floor and the lower floor, and now that pitcher got a hole in it, the Sesmu Shmarim, however that hole in the pitcher was closed up by sediment that was accumulated in that pitcher, hitzilua. What that is able to do is that separates the that's still going to be considered a good separation between the two floors. That's the way Rashi learns. That's the way we're going to learn. There are those that learn. We're talking about the picture itself and there are things in the picture. And the question is, what will be considered a closed picture? That whatever in the picture will not, that's in the house with his tuma, what will be considered a closed picture that will be able to prevent what's in the picture from coming tame, and what will not be that way? So again, chavetz nikva, the pitcher got a hole, this is smooth shmurim, and it was filled up with sediment, hitzelua. By Rava, so now Rava asked the question, agav chetzia, if somebody covered up half the hole with cement, and he left it half open, mahu, what will be the halacha? Do we say, since it doesn't have a proper size hole, so it's going to be able to be a chatzitza for the tumah between the lower floor and the upper floor? Or do we say, if it doesn't, since it has some hole opening, then it can't be chatzitza? Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yemir l'Rav Ashi, la Mishnah Seinuzu, isn't this an explicit Mishnah? The Mishnah says in Masech the Kalim, the Tanan, Chavish Naklavas Smar Shmorim, Hitzilua. If the entire hole was covered with sediment, it's a way to prevent the tumor from going up. Paskuv is Zmoira. But if a person filled up that hole with a branch, at Shimorech, it's only good if you smear cement to make sure that it's covered, that's filled up properly. If there were two branches, it has to be completely smeared that it should stay firm. Tama, who we see the marach, only because you did this and you put the cement there to make sure that nothing is going to move out of the way. Haloi marach loi. But ask the Gemara, Amai, why, even if you didn't close it up so well, is it a problem? Why isn't it the same that you covered half? And if you covered half the hole and you don't have now a proper sized hole, it shouldn't be a problem. Amri, hachi hashte. Hasam, over there, when you used branches to close up the hole, Eloi Marach, if you won't put cement there, loikoi, the hole won't remain permanently closed up. And therefore, it's not going to be able to save you from the tumah going up. However, but agav chatzia, if you covered half the hole properly, b'midah d'kai, something that won't fall apart, so you don't have a hole large enough to let the tumah go up, and it's not a problem. Vamarava, says the Gemara, Amru, we've learned, gozel chametz, if somebody stole chametz oval over Pesach, and now Pesach passed, and the chametz became osbah anor because it's chametz shovel of a Pesach. Oimelei, the gazlan could say to the nigzal, harei shel chalafanacha, I'm giving you back the chametz, and I fulfilled my obligation of eshvez gzeil of esha gozel. But ask the Gemara, boy Rova, nishbalov, if the gazlan swore falsely that he didn't steal it, mahu, what is that, how does the halacha look at that situation? Do we say, kivin de boy imignif, since if this will be stolen from the ganif at this place, now he's going to have to pay its value. So then mamina kakafale, it's considered as if he swore falsely about money that's owed. And therefore, all of the halachas about swearing falsely about money that's owed will apply. Adilma, Hashtamir Hamanach, right now he could give it back, even though it has no value. Because Afrabamu, he could give it back, but it has no value. So therefore, since it has no value, it's not considered that he swore falsely about something that has any value. Says the Gemara, Mirsla Bilei L'Rava, this issue that was a question to Rava, Pshit Lei L'Rava, was to Rava no question. Dama Rava, somebody says to somebody else, Shairi Ganafta, you stole my animal. So I'm a loy Ganafta, and he says it's not true, I didn't steal it. So then the person says to him, Mativa etzloch. Why is it by you? If you say that you never stole my animal, what is it doing by you? So he says, Shemichinim Anov. You gave it to me and asked me to be a Shemichinim, and he swears that that's what happened, and then he admits that it's not true. Chayiv. He's Chayiv a carbon shavuah. Even though he didn't say that the animal belongs to me, all he said was that I'm a Shemichinim for it. Since this claim comes with a financial aspect to it, because by saying he's a Shemichinim we know is Potter from Gneiva Veda, a Shemichinim is only Chai B'Pshia, and if the truth is that he's a Gazlin, he's Chai Gneiva Veda, so now his false Shvua was over something that has a financial value. Or, says the Mishnah, if the person says that Shemisoch ani alav, that your animal, I'm a Shemisocher, and then he swears to that, and then he admits that he was lying, so then again, Chayiv, we understand that he's Chayiv Karm Shvua, Shrei Pata Atzma Meshvura Mesa. The loch is that a Shemisocher is Pata from Einzin, a Gazlin is Chayiv by Einzin, by him lying that he was a Shemisocher, and not saying that he was a Gazlan, which he really is. He was trying to have a financial benefit, that he won't be Chayiv for Einzim. So that's why it's considered that he swore over a financial matter. If he said that instead of admitting that he was a lawyer, he swore that he's a Gazlan, he swore falsely that Shoyal ani alav, that I am a Shoyal, and then he admits that he lied, and that he's really a Gazlan, again, he would have had a financial benefit. Chayiv, Shrei Pata Atzma Meisim Achim Malacha. The halacha is that an animal, the shoyl is part of Meisim Achim Malacha, a Gazlan is not, so there was a financial benefit. Says the Gemara, Alma, so now let's analyze this. Afkav Dalkoim, even though the animal is here, and the Gazlan is admitting that this animal belongs to the owner. Kivan the Ignif, since if the animal is going to be stolen, so now it turns out Mamoina Kakofer, it had a financial value. Hashtanami, even though the animal wasn't stolen, and therefore there is no financial loss with his false Shvua, still Mamoina Kakofer, it's considered that the Shvua was over a financial issue. Hachanami, so therefore suggests the Gemara, Afagav, the Afabamahu, even though if we look at the value of the Chametz, it has no value. However, it does have value. Because as we said, if the Gazlan stole Chametz, and now it's, even though it's after Pesach, and even though after Pesach it has no value, he could say, Hareshel Cholofanecha. He could have just gotten away with that. Now, he won't be able to get away with that. But if it'll be stolen, then he'll have to pay the value of the chametz. It's considered, hashtanami, the halacha looks at it as if memoina kakofale, that what he did was something that had financial value. Yosef Rabbah, so says the Gemara, Rabbah was sitting with Kamala Shmatza, says the Gemara that was saying the halacha that he just said, that if somebody who's a Gazlan swore falsely that he's a Shemachinim, a Shemachachar, a Shoyal, that he's going to have the halacha of somebody who swears falsely, he's going to have to pay care of a Chaymish and Asham, Esrei Rav Amram L'Rabba. The Torah says, regarding a Gazlan who swore falsely, the Pasuk says, V'kachishba V'nishba'al Sheka, says the Mar Prat L'moyde V'Iker, only if somebody completely denied is he chayiv all of these halachas. But if he admits on the actual object, he's just arguing over the details of how he got that object, then these halachas wouldn't apply. And the Bryce explains itself. Somebody says to somebody, Shari Ganafta, V'hu I'm aloy, you stole my animal. And he responds, Loy Ganafti, I didn't steal it. So he says, Te'mativa etzloch, why is it by you? So he says, "At mechatli, at nesatli, you sold it to me. At nesatli, b'matani, you gave it to me as a gift. Avicha marchu, your father sold it to me. Avicha nesnuli, b'matani, your father gave it to me as a gift. Acha parosi rots, it ran after my cow, and that's why you'll see it in my property. Meila boletzli, it came by itself. Toya b'derek metzosiv, I found it wandering, and I brought it into my property. Shemachin manay alav." I'm a shemachinim over this animal. Shem asacha ani alav. I'm a shem asacha over this animal. Shem ani alav. The nishba, and he swore falsely, and then v'hoide he admitted to what he did. Yochel yechayiv. We would think that the halach of chaimish v'osham will apply. Tamalayim v'kichesh by prat l'mayda be'ikar. Once he admitted that to the actual item that it's not his, just disagreeing that over the stealing aspect of it, then he doesn't have a din of chaimish v'oshim. So isn't the Braisa saying that clearly, different than what Rava said, clearly saying that if somebody swore that he's a shomer, and then he admits that he was lying, he's not chayv chaimish v'oshim. How will Rava understand this Braisa? Amalei, so Rava said to Rava, when he asked this question, Tadura. Tadura means that you didn't concentrate and understand what I meant to say. Amalei Tadura, Kitanya he, you didn't understand the difference between what I said and what the Braisa says. For he says, Kitanya he, when is the Braisa speaking about? The Kamalei Helech, that he told him you could take it. Since he told him you could take it, so then it's not considered that there's a real denial. Because he says, take it, gesunta heit. Ki kamina, when did I say that the gazlan will be chayif? The kaima ba'ama. Since he can't tell him just take it, because it's not here to be taken, that's why he'll be chayif. But ask the Gemara. Let's understand this braisa, that if the gazlan is moide be'ikar, that it's not his, then there's no chaimish v'oshim. But ask the Gemara, what were one of the excuses that he said? Ata mechartali, you sold it to me. So how are we saying that the Braisa is referring to a situation where he admits it's not his? Isn't by him saying ata mechartali, by him saying you sold it to me, that he is saying that it's mine? How do we call that moide be'ikar ikar? How do we call that he's admitting that it's not his? Says the Gemara, what he meant to say was, I never paid you for the animal. I bought it, but I didn't pay you. So since I didn't pay you, so it's not mine. And what he says to him, Ishkol Tarcha Vizal. Another question, the Gemara says, how can we say that he's saying it's not mine? He's saying, Ata Nesatali, you gave it to me. Avicha Nesnali, or he's saying your father gave it to me. So again, the same question. How do we say that he's agreeing that it's not his? Says the Gemara, because what he's saying is, I'm giving it to you on the condition that I would have done for you a favor, and I didn't do the favor, so therefore it doesn't belong to me. Tarcha v'zil, take it back. Or the next case, Tarcha b'derech metzosif. Why is that considered that when he says that I found it, and why is it considered that he's admitting? Lema, ibaylech ledurile. Shouldn't the person who he really stole it from say to him, you should have returned it to me? Amar avud shmu, b'ayim shvu aveda metzosi. I found this, but I didn't know who it belonged to, and therefore I didn't return it. So he's admitting that he didn't steal it, and therefore, according to the Braisa, the din of swearing falsely and chaimish and kabonis would not apply. The Torah speaks about somebody having to return something that he found that was lost. What the Gemara speaks about a case that somebody saw somebody who found an aveda, and he swears falsely that I don't know what you're talking about. So the halacha is that if somebody says somebody who knows testimony on behalf of somebody else in a financial matter, and he swears falsely that he doesn't, and then he admits that he swore falsely, the Torah says he has to bring a carbon asham for that false shvuah. The Pirate Gdosha says, "V'nefesh kisechta v'shama kol ola v'eid oira oyada im lo yagid v'nosa avoyne v'eivis hasham al Hashem achatosa shechata." Says the Matanya Amar ben Azai, "Sholosh shvuah saying, if an eid swore that he doesn't know anything about a lost object, there are three types of shvuas. Hikaba, if the aid realized that it belongs to the person who's making him swear. He saw somebody else's animal in somebody else's property, or v'loy b'matza, but he doesn't know. He knows that this person's animal is in somebody else's property, but he doesn't know who that person is. Or b'matza v'loy ba, he saw that where the aveda is. He saw a person who finds the aveda, but he doesn't know who is the one that lost the aveda. Or the third case is loy ba v'loy matza. Ask the Gemara, if he didn't know loy ba v'loy matza, he doesn't know about the animal, he doesn't know where it is, so then kushta ishtaba, because Hitaka doesn't know anything. Amos, says the Gemara, what the third shvu is ba b'matza, that he knows who lost it and he knows who found it. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara brings a question. What did Ben Azai mean to say with these shvuas? L'may helchasa. What did Ben Azai mean by enumerating these various shvuas? L'chiv or l'ptor, that he's going to be chayiv, shvuas eidus or not. Rav Ami Amar Rav Chanina Liftor, then all these cases, the halach of shvuas eidus wouldn't be applicable, because since he's only an eid echad can never make somebody pay in the Torah. He always needs a pishne eidim yakum davar. So since he's an eid echad, the halach of shvuas eidus would not apply. Of Shmuel Amar L'chiyuv, says the Gemara, this machlokes of Rav Chanina and Shmuel is actually machlokes tanoim. We pluck the dani tanoim. The Tanya hamashbiya eid echad. If somebody makes an eid echad swear to come say testimony on his behalf, and the eid swears falsely that he does not know any testimony on his behalf, Potter Tanakama says that he doesn't have to bring a carbon shvuah. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Mechayiv says he does have to bring Kamen Shavuah. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of their Mechalikus? But my Kamifligi, Mar Sava, Dov Agar Mamakim Mamadami. This Shavuah could cause that there should be an obligation to pay. Because although, as we said a moment ago, the Halacha tells us, the Torah tells us, that you need two Eidim to make somebody pay, one Eid is enough to make somebody make a Shavuah. So now what's going to happen if this aid says the testimony? The person would have to swear. And if he won't swear, he'll have to pay. And since if he won't pay, so since that testimony could cause they would have to pay, that's enough that it should be considered a shvua that caused a loss. Or my sover, whereas the Tanakhama Rabbi Chanina hold the Dova Gaim Kamomin Lav Kamomin. The Rishonim, the Ramban, say that we actually spoke previously in Amasechta and Dav Tzadiches quite extensively about Dova Gaim Kamomin Kamomin Dami regarding a Mazik. We spoke there about somebody who stole a carbon, that the person whom he stole the carbon for will have to replace that. And we quoted the machloikis of Davar Garim L'mamin K'mamin. They say that this is not connected to that. These are two different subjects. That's the opinion of the Ramban. The Rashba, however, says that the two halachas do actually travel together. Amar Rav Shaisus, Hakayfa B'Pekodim. If somebody says to somebody, you're watching an object of mine, and he says, not true. And then Adam come and say, that we saw that you have it. Naslov Gazlin, by even though he didn't swear, he just falsely denied it, he becomes a Gazlin, and at that point, he's Chayib Einzin. Says the Mervatana Tuna, and there's a Braisa that supports this halacha. The Pasuk says, regarding, again, the parasha of Shvu Sheker, the Torah says, the Torah teaches us that if somebody falsely swears that he doesn't owe money when he does, the Torah says what the halacha is. As hara minayim. But we know that the Torah always gives an ashara to every oinish. You can't be chayiv an oinish without an ashara. Even though Tosfos asks the question, that halach of ein einshim el mekanim nazhirim is only by a physical einish. Here we're talking about not a physical einish. So why do we have to have ashara? So the Rashba and the Rosh answer that since there's a carbon involved, the carbon needs an einish and ashara. Tamaloyma v'loy sasachshu. My love, what is the braisna meaning? Loinish mamin, that you chayiv to pay for. You have to pay, even though you didn't swear. Loi. The Torah is speaking about only in a case when you swore. But ask the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Sefer, if we go continue in the Braisa speaks about Vishtaba. Then Sefer we swore. Mechlal, isn't that an indication, the Reisha, that the Reisha is speaking about a case? The Loi Yishtaba, that he didn't swear. And the Gemara brings down the Sefer. The Tani Sefer, the Pasuk says, I motza ba aveda v'kichesh ba v'nishba al shekel. The Shilmai Sabarosha Vachemishasoi Yosef Alovas Shama Yovel Hashem. Ludan Lamadnu Oinish, that if somebody swears falsely, they have to bring Chaimish for Osham as Horaminayim, Tamloima Lysishakru, Ishba Misai. Umid the Sefer the Shtaba, if the Sefer is speaking about that he swore falsely, Reisha the Loya Shtaba. And yet, even when he didn't swear falsely, the Aloch is, as soon as he denied and lied, he becomes Chayba Ansim. So it's more loy. Amri, that's not the way to understand. Rather, Idvi Idi Dishtaba. Both the Reisha and the Sefer are referring to a situation where he swore falsely. Kan Shahoida. The Sefer refers to a situation where he admitted on his own. The Kan Shaba Edom. And the Reisha is speaking about that not that he admitted on his own, that Edom came, Dasa Edom, in a case where Edom came. So he's established as a gazlan in Chai Ba'ontzim. They do it when he admitted on his own Chai Ba'keren. There's a din of a heshiv as gzeil she'agazol, and then there's going to be a chaimish v'ashem, which is fascinating. It turns out that somebody who admits on his own is going to be more severely punished than when he didn't admit on his own. Masr of Chamam, the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos teaches us that under normal circumstances, how does it work in the case where the Torah says to make a shvuah? So the case is that the Torah says the person that being made a claim against to swear that he doesn't owe, and he'll be potter. However, if it's a case, if this person who is supposed to make a shvuah is a person that we don't trust, ketzad, echad shvuas edus, both in a case that he swore that he doesn't know testimony, and it turns out that he lied. V'echad shvuas b'kodem, the case that we're speaking about where he said, holding a b'kodem, he swears that he doesn't and he's lying. A filu shvuas shav, or a person that swore falsely. Any in these people that Chazal reversed and said that the person who's making the claim should swear and collect. Says the Gemara Vim Isa, if the halacha is that somebody who's a koifer b'bikodin, he denies without a shvua that denies something that he's watching, and then it turns out he's a gavlin. So why do we need the shvua? Kviru d'fsalei, as soon as he denied it. Amri says the Gemara, hachd ma'iskin d'koy ba'agam. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where the animal is not in the person's property. The laf kviruhu, that's not really considered a lie. The savash, the mitmina, he's not lying. He's just trying to buy time ad Zolno Meisner Law until I could return it. And Teda, says the Gemara, I prove to you that what Rav Sheshe said, that as soon as somebody denies on the Bikodin, he's considered a Gazlan. Dama Rav Idibar Avina, Kaifa Bemilva. If somebody denies he owes money, the halacha is kosher edus. He is still kosher aid. Ah, he lied. He says he doesn't owe the money, and he does. Says the Gemara, Bikodin. But if he swore about a Bikodin, he denied about a Bikodin, and then it turns out he's lying, pasul edus. Vama alfa. But ask the Gemara, shvur kaina. As soon as he swears, then he becomes the gazlan and be responsible. Isn't that an indication that shvur hidakanya, only when he swears falsely does this kick in? Al kfira, just denying loikanya. Says the Gemara, hachinami, when Elfin was speaking about the kaima bagam, he was just trying to buy time. Vibai seima mai shvur kaina. What was meant when Ilfa said that only if he swear does he become the gazlan, but without a shvu he doesn't become a gazlan? He meant to teach us what Rav Huna taught us. Dama Rav Huna Marav, if somebody says to someone that's manila biyotcha, you owe me $100, v'alai oimalai, and the other person says, ein lecha biyadei klum, I don't owe you anything, v'nishba, and he swear, v'achkach bo, that he doesn't, he's not holding the money, v'achkach bo edim, potter. Shenemar, Shvuas Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneim, Im Lo Yishalach Yod B'Melech Tzal Reyu, V'Lokach Balav Lo Yishalim, Kivin Shekiblu Balam Shvuam, once the owners took the Shvuah, Shuv Eim Shalom Mamon. If it turns out that he was a Gazlan, then he won't have to pay. And we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in our Kriyom and Shurim, when and where is he absolved from having to have to pay, even though he said this outright lie that he doesn't have it when he really does.